Hello and welcome back to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast, our bi-weekly podcast that has always been bi-weekly the entire time we've been doing it, as far as any of us can remember.
Exactly.
I'm Alan, this is sitting with me is James. James, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you today, Alan?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. How are you surviving the late season hijinks of the Washington Redshirts?
I don't know if this is like... I feel it's a little bit like Stockholm Syndrome, right? You know, I was scared at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
My hopes and dreams were in control of an outside force that I was not capable of influencing. But having been held hostage emotionally for so long, I now seem to have fallen in love with this ragtag band of red shirts and their hilarious mishaps every week. If you had looked at my face on Sunday at any point in time, you would not have guessed that the Redshirts lost that day 24-0 against the St. Louis Rams and Sean Hill, who is barely even a quarterback. But I don't know. It rolled straight over me. I actually enjoyed the game. I don't know what's happened to me, Alan. Nice. I just don't know.
Well, you think it's the solace of actually getting your draft pick from the first round this time?
Maybe that's it. Yeah,
you don't mind losing those so much at the end of the year.
Yeah, not really, because now we're actually going to get this pick instead of giving it to, you know, those guys.
I will say that. Remember when we did that Pro Bowl podcast and we were like, oh, we need another cornerback? And I was like, we shouldn't choose Bashaud Breeland because there was, you know, he's a rookie and we would have chosen this other rookie 2 weeks before. And
yeah.
That happened.
Yeah.
It totally happened.
It did a little bit, didn't it?
Not
it
that he's really been bad, but it's just not.
He has not
Pro Bowl.
He's not kept. Yeah.
Yeah. On the plus side, our other rookies have mostly kept it together.
I'd say so.
Aaron Donald definitely has. Anthony
Absolutely.
Barr got hurt, but it's actually
That's
been
not really,
okay even
yeah.
so. I think we're all right on that.
It's not his fault.
Anyway, we're not going to talk about that for much longer. In fact, let's just go to the next segment. What we are going to talk about today is fantasy football.
Yeah.
But not specifically.
No, we're not going to give you any advice about fantasy football. We're not going to tell you how to beat your friends for bragging rights.
Yeah, no, we're going to tell you how to make the best fantasy league ever. And by tell you how, we're going to give you some ideas you might want to incorporate. So I think we might as well start with the ones that we already use.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a couple things that we do in our leagues that are unusual.
Yeah.
The first, and this should be built into the sites, is the depth chart.
Absolutely.
And the way that works is it sucks when you have a player who's questionable and plays on Monday night, and you have to play someone else because you don't know if they're going to play.
Right.
That sucks.
Right.
So, before any of the players involved play, you say, hey, if Monday night player doesn't play, I want Sunday morning player. And
right.
then as long as you've done that in a public place before the games, it happens.
Yeah. And that's a thing that, as we have experienced, that's a thing a league manager can easily take care of. It's not even a big deal.
It's not difficult to do on the sites, or at least not on ESPN, which is what we mostly play on, but it's just something that none of them have implemented, and I don't know why.
Which is weird.
It's
ESPN,
ridiculous.
Get on your game.
So here's the thing. I think we, in this podcast, believe that fantasy football should be more like managing a football team.
Yeah, that's the whole reason we play this.
There's no football team that's like, oh man, if this guy doesn't play, we're going to be totally screwed and have no one in that slot because that guy was gone already.
Right, exactly.
He was doing something else that day. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So that's thing number one. Thing number two for the defense league that we do is we have this double scoring that I think came from the Howard Stern Show League.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about this somewhere, so I think that's it. Apologies if it isn't. But basically, in order to remove the sting of losing to the first place team in the week.
Yeah, to remove the sting of scoring the second most points in the week and still losing your head-to-head matchup.
Like I did in two leagues this week.
Yeah.
We give one win for the head-to-head each week, and one win if you're in the top half of the scorers each week.
Yeah,
so,
which is a good way to deal with the situation that I found myself in one league where I've scored the third most points in the league, and I have a 2 games below .500 record on the season.
Yeah, because it would probably be more fair to do something like just the total points accumulation thing, but then you lose.
The head-to-head stuff
head-to-head
is important, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we don't want to get rid of that. We just want to make it less painful.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's thing number two. Now, but so let's talk a little bit about defensive fantasy. And the reason I wanted to do this podcast, James, is that I was hanging out with your brother, as I sometimes do. We were talking about our defensive fantasy league, which your brother is not in, but we were talking about it anyway.
I keep trying to get him in it, but he keeps saying it's crazy.
No, he's in now.
Oh, he's in now?
He says that if there's a slot next year, he sounds like he's in now. Anyway,
sweet.
He was asking what players do well in that league, because he doesn't know how the scoring works. You know, we have a whole thing about the scoring that's up on the site that you can read, where we're trying to balance different positions so that top cornerbacks do score at least close to top linebackers and all that.
Yeah.
So we were talking about that, and I was saying, you know, what we've said on this podcast, cornerback is a hard position because the worse cornerbacks
score
better in fantasy.
Yeah. It's basically, in the defensive leagues, it's basically the only position where real-life performance and fantasy performance don't correlate well.
So your brother had an idea.
Yeah.
He said, what if you get bonus points for a cornerback who isn't targeted during the game?
I think that's a spectacular idea.
Yeah, I thought about this, and obviously you need a data source for this.
Right.
But target data and snap count data, because you need snap counts.
You definitely need snap counts.
Because I realized that you could just play a person that's on bye or whatever.
Yeah, exactly, and they would get not targeted. But
So you need something like snap counts, but you could do it. You could say if they're targeted on less than 10% of their snaps or whatever, you'd have
right,
to look
we
at
can
the numbers.
Set it up and
I haven't looked at the numbers to see what the ratios would be, but you could figure it out. You could go over the last year and say, you know, most cornerbacks on average are targeted, whatever, 20% of the snaps they're on the field. That's a guess, but
sure.
Whatever.
Yeah. And so if you're
below 10%, you get this bonus. If you're below 5%, you get this
an
bonus.
An even bigger bonus.
And if you get zero and you have a minimum number of snaps, you'd have to work
super
that
bonus,
part out.
Yeah.
And all of them, I think you need like a threshold of snaps to work.
I agree with that.
Could do it, and I think the data is available.
The data has got to be available because you see they do this with like Richard Sherman and some of the top cornerbacks where
they
show you they're
the
like
article.
Targeted three times, no completions, no yards or whatever. But
so someone has this data. And what I'm saying is, maybe next year for our league, and we encourage this of you, get your hands on that data and make this thing happen.
Yeah.
It does probably mean you're going to have to do all of the scoring manually.
Yeah, pretty intensive data processing for you. But
no, you could do that scoring manually.
That's true. That actually wouldn't be that hard to just look at.
Yeah, on the ESPN leagues, you can adjust scoring for players. So you would maybe want to automate that, but you could make it happen.
You could do it if you didn't, yeah.
You can make it happen. All right.
Mm-hmm. Or write ESPN. You know, the more emails they get, the closer we are to having them implement our great ideas.
That's always important.
Yeah, or write us.
Yeah, sure. podcast@alanjackaway.com. All right. Let's keep on defensive fantasy, James.
Okay.
How do we get defensive tackles to score more points?
So I was thinking about this, and this may not actually help strictly just the defensive tackles, but this is definitely a thing that's kept track of in terms of quarterback stats. You have, like, times a quarterback is hit or knocked down, but not necessarily in a, you know, not with the ball, right?
Yep.
If you awarded points for those things, I feel like defensive tackles would get a lot, would score a lot more, because they are
totally
almost always in on those
especially
things.
Especially if you can, now, hurries are really hard to measure.
Hurries are difficult,
but hits are pretty easy to dependably say, yes, this person had a hit, or maybe you have half hits if there's two people.
Yeah, sure.
We already do that with everything else, so that wouldn't be that unusual.
Not that hard. Yeah.
I think that's kind of a no-brainer. And another one that's a no-brainer, so bear with me here. We got to get the penalties in here somehow.
Absolutely.
We need, I think that, you know,
offensive holding penalties
should
you
count
should
as
count
a sack
as
or
a
half
sack,
a sack
or a
maybe.
Half sack or something for whatever defensive player caused it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that in offensive leagues, because I said we're going to talk about everything, I think that receivers should get at least something for defensive pass interference.
Honestly, we should just give them the yards for the pass interference.
Yeah, I mean, the yards, half the yards, whatever.
Yeah.
Something. They should get something. Maybe it's just 1 point. You caused the defensive pass
interference.
Point,
yeah.
You get a point. Good job.
I mean, that would, for instance, turn a player that the Ravens rely on,
Torrey Smith,
into like a legitimate like wide receiver one.
Yeah.
If you include his penalty yardage in, I mean, that's an extra 30 or so points a season or something. Like,
I agree. No, we totally. And I think that's again, you can't do it on the sites that exist now.
Right.
It's a stat that's tracked. but it's not one that's available on most of the fantasy sites.
Right.
So you'd have to parse it out yourself.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Maybe what we need to do, James.
Do we need to start our own?
We need to start our own fantasy site where we just, everything is available.
All the data is available. We will give you a way to assign points to a stat as long as it is tracked.
Yeah.
That'll be our off-season project.
We need to get in touch with, like, Pro Football Focus or someone.
Yeah.
Because we need someone that has those hurry counts.
Yes.
Because the hurry, someone or I'm sorry, the hit, the quarterback hit counts and the snap counts, because those aren't available
to the public.
Yeah, they're not in the game log. So,
yeah.
Like, if you go on ESPN.com, they're not there.
Right.
But someone has them somewhere. You just might have to pay for it. So maybe we need to team up with one of these guys and be like, we will run your ultra premium fantasy league. For everything.
That would be spectacular.
James, you have any ideas we've been thinking about? I think that's many of the things that
were
on my
mind. That's a lot of the things
penalties,
that we're thinking. I want to touch on a few things that we do differently in some of our offensive leagues, or have done differently in the past, at least. The first thing is, I love punters. I don't think they get enough respect. I don't know how many of you have implemented these in your leagues, but it's actually possible in the ESPN leagues just to straight up do it. You can have the punters in your league. You get bonuses for
punts
certain,
inside the 20,
punts inside
certain,
the 20
averages.
Certain averages. Yeah.
Yep.
Just the punters should get respect.
Yeah, the punters should get respect. I will say that in that league, almost all the punters, they're pretty interchangeable.
They're almost all interchangeable. I'm not sure that we haven't quite figured out how to distinguish the really good punters from the
not so great
ones.
Yeah, we maybe need to tweak the scores on that.
I think so. And maybe something to do with, there's got to be a way to make Johnny Hecker look amazing, right?
Well, he'll get offensive points if you start him.
And he makes an offensive play.
The one that does it. If he just calls it and someone else throws it or whatever, it's a different situation.
That's a different story. Yeah. Unfortunate.
How do you feel about head coaches? We had head coaches in a league for a little while, James. You want to explain what we did with head coaches?
So
this is something ESPN supports, sort of.
Yeah, enough to make it work anyway. we love ties here. Alan is a firm believer. He's bringing me around to his side, too, that you should, in the regular season anyway, when you don't absolutely need to declare a winner to advance a bracket, you should just let the game end in a tie. I mean, the overtimes, we see nothing but sloppy football. It's bad for the players. It's not exciting. The rules are dumb anyway.
The rules are dumb. Those overtime rules are real dumb.
Yeah.
We've talked about this.
I mean, like, the college overtime rules are hilarious, but have so little resemblance to the rest of the game that I don't even... It's like, that should just be its own game, right?
No, they have resemblance to the college game. Maybe that will be its game sometime. It's like half court.
Yeah, exactly. It's half court football. It's spectacular, but insane. And so what we did in our league is you drafted a head coach along with everyone else. You had to have a head coach on your team.
You couldn't use
that spot to draft a real player. And you would play two every week, I think?
We had two every week because we didn't want to miss this.
Yeah, because we didn't want to miss it. We really wanted someone to get the points for this. So you could play two head coaches every week. And if your head coach went... I think we did it that if you went to overtime, you got a point. One point.
After the first year.
Yeah.
After the first year, no one tied.
Yeah. If you went to overtime, you got 1 point. And if the game ended in a tie, your head coach gave your team 10 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty great.
Which
really like that.
Spectacular.
You know, ESPN wants you to use the head coaches to say victory by X number of points.
Yeah,
but that's
garbage. It's the real coaching decision.
Yeah, but you want that and you also want challenges.
Yes.
And that's not available, but the challenge would be great
if you could get points for successful challenges, negative points for unsuccessful challenges.
Yeah, that would
if there
be great.
Were some way to quantify time management as well, timeouts taken on the right side of the 2 minute warning type situations.
Yeah, it would be a little tricky.
It'd be kind of hard because you'd have to actually suss out
what the right plan is.
So, yeah,
I don't know, but that's one. I thought the head coaches were fun. We may need to get those back in there somehow.
Yeah, unfortunately not all of the people that participate in our leagues are as open minded as Alan and I, and so the.
Once we had the tie, we moved them out, you know, and replaced them with punters. All right, so here's another idea, and this was proposed by someone in one of our leagues a while ago, but we never implemented it. So, you want to reward players for spectacular plays.
Yes.
Okay? That's pretty reasonable.
Yes.
The only way you can do this on the sites at the moment is there's like a bonus for long touchdowns.
Yeah.
And that's not the only kind of spectacular play there is.
Definitely not.
So we had a person that said, here's a way we could do it that would be objective, quote-unquote.
Quote-unquote.
You get bonus points if you're on ESPN's top 10, and you get minus bonus points if you're on the not top 10.
I think that that's a spectacular idea. That's
we never implemented it, and I was so sad because we should have implemented it.
It would be so easy to do.
Yeah, it kind of. The only downside is there's a bias for the Monday night players because they get like their own day of SportsCenter.
But
basically,
maybe that factor that into your to your lineup choices.
But is there a weekly top 10?
Maybe there is a weekly top 10. There's Friday night's ESPN does their weekly top 10.
Oh, you wouldn't know if you'd won until Friday
night. That would be spectacular. The score could change after next week's game had started.
How do you feel about not knowing your score until late in the
week? I have no problem with not knowing my score until late in the week.
Yeah,
right?
It would be really no problem if there weren't the stupid Thursday games.
Yeah.
And I guess it screws with your waiver orders, but whatever. Whatever.
Waiver orders are weird anyway.
Yeah, the waiver system... Okay, so here's another one.
Yeah, get rid of the waiver system.
The waiver system sucks. All solutions for it suck. You have to have something, though. I kind of like the idea of FAB, which is what ESPN has, where you bid on players, except you can't do it without having to bid each time, and it clears at noon, and if you need a person Sunday morning, you're just, like, totally screwed.
Yeah.
Is there any solution to this, or are we just totally screwed?
We may just be totally screwed. I mean, because the solution either is more like it is now, where it's just totally clunky and unflexible and does not help in the emergency situations, which is like basically the only time you really need that system to work, or it's completely real-time based and whoever has the fastest internet connection / wakes up the earliest gets everybody.
I don't know. I'm sure there are leagues that do that, but
you
can't possibly do
that. You can't just do that. That's dumb.
All right, let me run this by you. This is an idea for a league.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes we have ideas for a league.
Yeah.
Okay. That you're going to need fewer players. This is going to be a league, maybe an 8-team league, something like that.
Okay.
Instead of drafting players, you draft position groups.
Okay.
So you draft, so it sucks. Okay, so part of the problem with waivers, and really with fantasy football, is that, like, the team that drafted, that picked up CJ Anderson is killing it.
Yeah.
And tearing through their playoffs right now.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't be if the way to get CJ Anderson was that
you
had
to
drafted
pick Denver's
the Denver
running backs,
at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So you can, and that way, also, you know, not sure, I mean, most of the time you're not sure what quarterback's going to start. It's not for good reasons, but you're not sure what quarterback's going to start. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You've got the position. Because
you have the position group.
Kind of solves the problem we were talking about injuries, too.
Yeah.
Because
you may not know
who's going to play.
But they will have some wide receiver one out for, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It almost, you used to be able to do, I think ESPN, you can set
you can
it up
do
to
team
do team
quarterbacks, I think.
But no other position. Why not?
Obviously, the implementation is already there for handling that.
I don't know. Would that be fun or would that
I
be...
I would enjoy that, I think.
Could you ever make a trade?
Yeah. You probably could, right? Yeah,
it would be tricky. I don't know if you, how bench slots would work. That's the real problem with buys. You'd have to be really careful with stuff.
Yeah.
That's why I think it has to be a small league, but
probably
I think you could do it.
It's definitely something we should experiment with.
Yeah.
We should get our crazy group together and
try
to figure out how to do it.
The experimental group.
We've already got the group.
The other thing we're doing this year is the cooperative league.
Yeah.
We try to score similar to your quote-unquote opponent.
Right. I think it's been largely successful.
Yeah, I think so too. It's pretty simple. I mean, you have to do all the scoring by hand.
Manually, but each
week you're matched up with a player, which ESPN does for you, and then you score the lower score of the two of you minus the difference.
Yeah.
And then there's like some penalties thrown in for starting players on buys and stuff. So
yeah, or leaving slots empty so you can't.
But that's been working pretty well.
Yeah, I think it's been a pretty successful year.
Yeah. All right, what else is wrong with fantasy? That might be it. We've gone
I think we've fixed fantasy already.
We've certainly improved it. I don't mind that there's a lot of luck involved in fantasy football.
Right.
But there are some things, like the injury thing, the depth chart thing
sucks. Yeah.
Like, it should obviously be implemented that way.
Yeah.
And some of this is just to make it more fun. Like, why doesn't Odell Beckham get extra points for that catch?
For arguably the most athletic catch that football has ever seen, right? Like, that deserves bonus points.
Yeah, I just was thinking that you should do it by who's trending on Twitter.
Ooh.
But then, firstly, you could try to game it.
Yeah,
but secondly,
which would be better.
Sometimes players are trending for
the wrong reasons.
And you would get points for that. I don't know if that's a plus or a minus.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe that's, it encourages you to draft. I don't know, I feel like... There's one more thing that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
It's gone from the game. It's almost gone from the game at this point. But back in the heyday of football, when we had people who could celebrate a touchdown for real, right?
Yeah.
There's got to be... I really wish there was some way we could award truly spectacular celebrations.
Well, sometimes they would show up on the SportsCenter Top 10.
That's true.
So that
would be
one way
to catch that. Yeah.
I mean, you could, if assuming that we're already implementing penalties anyway,
yeah.
you could just give plus points for
unsportsmanlike
conduct.
Yeah. I would, that would be the one penalty I think you should get bonus points for incurring,
Well, you get bonus points for incurring defensive pass interference.
That's a fair point, too. So. Right.
All right. I guess that's it. We fixed it.
All done.
We did it. So, look forward to us launching our fantasy site sooner or later.
By next season,
implement all this,
knock on wood,
instead of us having to do it by hand. So,
yeah,
we're going to do it.
It's going to be great.
Thank you for listening to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. Our theme and interstitial music is Dear Eliza by Ned and the Dirt. Do we have a hit of the week? I don't even know. There's no hits.
I know.
There are no
not
hits.
Really.
I feel like...
Sheldon Richardson gets a safety.
Oh, that's true.
That's true.
That's true. Wasn't
it's a not
crazy
a hit,
hit, but it's exciting.
But, yeah, but it's
safeties
exciting.
Are always exciting.
Yeah.
If you guys go to the scoring page we were talking about, you'll see that safeties are worth 10 points in our league.
Yeah.
And that doesn't include the tackle and or sack points.
Right,
got,
yeah. Like,
so.
If you were to...
Which maybe was a mistake.
I don't think so. Safeties are amazing, and they hardly ever happen. Like, if you manage to force a fumble and recover that, or, you know...
It's true.
Get the sack and... Put the guy down in the end zone.
Well, and the reason it's worth that much is that you get points and your team gets the ball back. It's a huge swing. So.
Right. It's so amazing.
I think it makes sense.
I mean, a pick six, for instance, is worth 12 points.
Yeah. No. In our league, 11 or 12.
The interceptions are 6 points.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So it's 12 whole points.
Well, so there you go.
So I don't know that 14 points is all that unreasonable for something as amazing as a safety. Sure, you get less points in real life, but...
Yeah,
the
but
emotional,
get the ball back.
But you get the ball
so
back.
You get maybe not, maybe more.
Maybe
points,
even
maybe nine.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, plus time of possession, all that stuff. So.
Exactly. It's the intangibles.
It's always
that we're
the
trying to make tangible.
Anyway, our hit of the week is our scathing review of all fantasy sites.
Yeah, suck it, fantasy.
Yeah,
you just got hit
until you start listening to us. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it from Alan
and James.
Stay low.